This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Glad you're here today. That was a blast, and people love the interview with Grillo. That was great. Somebody made an important observation in the YouTube chat, which is that Howard Stern is probably afraid of the woke mob. That's a great point. Now, I wish I'd mentioned that in the chat in our interview, but nevertheless, yeah, that's probably a lot of it too. It's fear of that, fear of offending woke, and fear of, I think, the fear of by extension woke, you know, these celebrities. Certainly that he's now around all the time. No doubt about that. But that was a lot of fun. And I was really happy to hear you. I said, I don't know your politics because I was at the inauguration. Great. Fantastic. This is what I mean. You know, this whole idea, for example, I disagree with Dave Portnoy. Portnoy's going on and on about how somebody has to go down for the signal leak. Dude, like, mistakes happen. Okay. Nobody died except terrorists. It's a mistake, you know, but we've had other mistakes where people didn't lose their jobs and didn't. Nobody got in trouble for Benghazi. Nobody got in trouble for Afghanistan. John F. Kennedy took full responsibility for the Bay of Pigs fiasco. There have been things that have gone wrong. Why does it always have to end with somebody losing their job? And it's like, what? I don't know. Somebody made the point the other day about, well, if this was a Democrat administration, you'd be calling on them to be fired. Like, okay, well, but they wouldn't be. They wouldn't go anywhere. They didn't go anywhere after Afghanistan. I called for everybody to be fired back then, and nobody left. You had a defense secretary. Just bear this in mind. You had a defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, who literally disappeared. Guy was nowhere to be found. Matt, you remember that when Lloyd Austin disappeared and nobody knew where the hell he was for like 48 hours? He was getting like surgery or something. Do you remember that?
I do, and I believe the woman that was directly under him and was supposed to take charge was on vacation for a full week.
Right. So for a full week, nobody could reach the Secretary of Defense. And the president didn't even know where he was, right? For a full week.
Yeah, it's wild.
And nobody got in trouble. And nobody cared. And it was, you know, we talked about it on this show. Lloyd Austin didn't step down. He issued some dumb apology about, I mean, he's a sec def. The president, if something goes wrong, picks up the phone. I need to talk to Secretary Austin. Don't know where he is, boss. What? Well, where's the person who's there? Yeah, she's on vacation. And come on. Give me a freaking break. And all these people who come up with these scenarios of what could have happened, but it didn't happen. Okay. I do know what did happen in Afghanistan. It was a total cluster F and 13 people did die. I know what happened in Benghazi and people died. And that was a total disaster. And I know about what happened with the defense secretary literally going and disappearing when we could have been attacked. We could have been this. We could have been nuked. We could have been. Well, he kept his job. That woman who worked under him, she kept her job, too. So, like, give me a break. All right. They made a mistake. This reporter should not have been in there. I don't know how it happened. They don't know how it happened. They used emojis. Okay. Grown men should not use emojis. Fine. Why do we have to fire somebody over this? Nothing bad happened. They said they're sorry. They learned their lesson. They're not going to do it again. This is a wake up call. We clearly can't use this chat. But how do officials communicate? Seriously. Like, this is what I don't understand. you don't like the tone or you don't like the rhetoric or you don't like, but if the Secretary of Defense, seriously, I'm asking this question for real, in all seriousness, Secretary of Defense, the Director of National Intelligence, CIA Director, and whoever else need to communicate, and the Vice President of the United States, about something imminent. And they all cannot be in the same physical location. How do we do it? Because they have to be able to communicate. Clearly, this app may not be the way to go. It was approved for them to use. It wasn't like it wasn't approved. It wasn't as if, you know, they were going on today in Congress, these members of Congress, these Democrats, these lowlives were like, well, did the NSA warn that Signal could get hacked? Did the Defense Department warn that Signal could get hacked? They're like, yeah, but everything can get hacked. The Pentagon got hacked. Like, we're forgetting that the Pentagon got hacked not that long ago. Everything is hackable. There's nothing that is 100% safe from hackers. Nothing. Name me one thing. No, you can't. There's nothing that's 100% safe from hacking. So even if tomorrow the NSA and the CIA created this new app working with Elon Musk, and they were going to be, and this was, they said, this is, nobody can hack this thing. It can still be hacked. Guarantee it. 100%. There's a smart person out there who can find a way in. Deputy Secretary of Defense Kathleen Hicks was on vacation in Puerto Rico. The responsibilities transferred to her when Lloyd Austin was hospitalized, and nobody knew anything about where the hell the Secretary of Defense was. So my genuine question is, how do these individuals communicate if they all can't be physically in the same room, and they all can't be physically in the same room, particularly if there's a crisis or an emergency? Should they just not talk to each other? Should they not communicate? Should we just can't be in the same room, can't physically be in the sit room, therefore, good luck? Wish America well? I mean, honestly, if there's a crisis where they have to do an imminent military thing and they all cannot be in the same, so is that going to be the new rule that we can only make a military move if everybody could be in a skiff? Because I heard some idiot say that today. Does the president not know that we have skiffs in this country? Yeah, we know about them because John Brennan, as CIA director, broke into one when the Senate bipartisan committee investigating torture, the CIA goons broke into that skiff and stole all their files about it. So, yeah, no, that, I know what a skiff is. What if everybody can't get to a skiff? Should they just not talk? Should they not have conversations? And then I give J.D. Vance a lot of credit. He spoke his mind, and good. And that should tell you a lot about J.D. Vance. I'm glad that came out. J.D. Vance had real concerns about helping Europe out again. Seems like we're always doing the heavy lifting for Europe. And there he got slammed today by this columnist in the New York Post about how he's an isolationist and everything else. He's not an isolationist. And J.D. Vance is right to question these things, and I'm glad he did. But my point, though, is, okay, they messed up here. This reporter got added to it, whether it was an accident or whether it was somebody who was doing something nefarious, and we don't know the answer to that. But how do these very important officials communicate with each other if they all cannot physically be in the same room? And is your suggestion then that they just don't? They don't communicate, because that's not realistic. In the year 2025, it's simply not realistic. They have to find a way to communicate. And knowing that you can hack into just about everything, I think pretty much everything. What's the answer? And if Elon designs the hack-proof app, the left will lose their freaking mind that Elon designed it. You know that. That'll happen too at some point. Let me play this for you. This is Mike Waltz yesterday with Laura Ingraham. Cut 14.
So they want to focus on this. It's embarrassing. Right. Yes. We're going to get to the bottom of it. I just talked to Elon on the way here. We've got the best technical minds looking at how this happened. But I can tell you for 100%, I don't know this guy. I know him by his horrible reputation, and he really is the bottom scum of journalists. And I know him in the sense that he hates the president, but I don't text him. He wasn't on my phone, and we're going to figure out how this happened.
So you don't know what staffer is responsible for this right now?
Well, look, a staffer wasn't responsible. And look, I take full responsibility. I built the group. My job is to make sure everything's coordinated.
But how did
to
the
execute?
Number, I don't mean to be pedantic here, but how did the number?
Have
get
you ever had? Have you ever had somebody's contact that shows their name, and then you have somebody else's number there?
Oh, I never make those mistakes.
Right? You've got somebody else's number on someone else's contact. So, of course, I didn't see this loser in the group. It looked like someone else. Now, whether he did it deliberately or it happened in some other technical mean is something we're trying to figure out.
Yeah. They'll figure it out. And they messed up. I mean, so somebody has to get fired over this because they messed up and didn't realize somebody was in the chat. Okay. It's a big mistake. Absolutely. Wrong. Shouldn't have done it. So the answer then is somebody has to lose their job. That's what Dave Portnoy thinks. I disagree. Mike Waltz served our country as a Green Beret. He's seen combat. He's put his life on the line for this country. Pete Hegseth has put his life on the line for this country. He's seen combat. Tulsi Gabbard served this country as a colonel in the United States Army, lieutenant colonel. These are people who have served our country, and they made an honest mistake. There was nothing nefarious about what they did. They didn't try to do anything wrong. My big problem would be if they were trying to hide information from the American people for the preservation of records. And we cannot confirm that that's the case, because the part of this that I am most disturbed about is the disappearing messages aspect of this. And I don't know, Matt, have they confirmed for sure that the disappearing messages were on?
I don't know if it's confirmed. I think right now the only one that's reporting that is Jeffrey Goldberg. And then Tulsi was asked about it, but she said she wasn't certain. And that's the last I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the only thing that honestly I would find to be something that would be so wrong that they would have to be held accountable for, because that means they were trying to hide this from history and from the American people. And that's unacceptable. Absolutely 100% unacceptable. But again, it doesn't mean you have to get fired for it. It means you just, you have to atone, apologize, and just don't freaking do it again. You know, let this be a lesson and learn from this. And then, everybody can go on with their lives. I mean, my God, it's like, I'm disappointed that Portnoy is saying that. These are people that put their lives on the line for this country. There was an honest mistake that was made. Nothing nefarious was done here. They weren't trying to hurt anybody. And nobody died, except for bad terrorists. Terrorist dudes died. So, if you want to criticize the policy, that's okay. I mean, J.D. Vance did. I get it. I understand people that think that maybe we should not be involved in this. But, there's other people that say Vance is wrong. The American shipping lanes were also coming under attack by the Houthis, and this is what needed to happen for international commerce, and this is the right move. Okay, they had a debate, they had a chat about it. How else are they supposed to do this if they can't all be in the same room? Seriously, I want to understand how. And if hypothetically speaking, they were all on a secure line, and somebody accidentally got in on that secure line, an old-fashioned phone call, not a text message, but an old-fashioned phone call, and somebody was able to listen in on that. Would we have the same outrage over this, or would we be blaming the operator, whoever set up the conference call, the company? See what I mean? Like, because that's happened before. That stuff has happened. With 100% certainty, that's happened. There's no foolproof way if you're not all in person in a secure location, but you can't always conduct business in person in a secure location. I just don't know what else to say about that. The president last night mentioned about the Atlantic, Jeffrey Goldberg is a loser. Cut number 10.
Goldberg's bad news. It's the Atlantic. It's failing. It's probably going to be out of business soon. And it's a terrible magazine. They made up all sorts of stories about me with standing over the graves of soldiers. There's nobody that treats the military better than me, and they treat me well too. They showed that in the election, but they write stories. It's such a disgrace. And there are plenty of others also, but Goldberg's a loser. His magazine's a big loser. And what it was, we believe, is somebody that was on the line with permission, somebody that was with Mike Waltz, worked for Mike Waltz at a lower level, had, I guess, Goldberg's number or call through the app. And somehow this guy ended up on the call. Now, it wasn't classified, as I understand it. There was no classified information. There was no problem. And the attack was a tremendous success. So I can only go by what I've been told. I wasn't involved in it, but I was told by, and the other people weren't involved at all. But I feel very comfortable, actually.
So a friend of mine sent me a text, and I'll read you the text he sent me. My buddy Jim, he's now down in Florida, but he was a Jersey guy, but he left, like a lot of people leaving blue states, which is something I talked about on the show yesterday. If you missed it, you should go back and listen to the podcast. There's also a clip on X where I said the Democrats are royally screwed because so many people are leaving blue states like New York, New Jersey, California, Illinois, that when they do the census in 2030, those states are all going to lose seats in the House of Representatives. And those seats are going to have to go to the red states, which are going to make the red states more powerful on the electoral map. And as a consequence of that, here's the scenario, in case you missed me outlining this yesterday. Because all these people are fleeing the blue states. They can't afford to live there. They're sick of the taxes, sick of the policies. They want to go to Florida, Texas, South Carolina, where you could win every state Kamala Harris won in 2024, plus Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. You still lose the presidency. You still lose the presidency. Think about that. But I digress. He said, did the staffer set this signal BS up as a way to undo Trump? My thinking is, was it intentional? Could be. It's very possible, too. A lot of these calls among high-level people are set up by staff members. Chat groups, text messages, phone calls are set up by that certainly could have happened as well. Absolutely. If they'd all had been given an 800 number to dial into, and then somebody accidentally gave it to Jeffrey Goldberg, would we all be losing our minds over this if Jeffrey Goldberg had recorded the call? Or would we say that he was a slime ball to record the call? See, I think the problem is that it's texting, it's signal chat. And so we're looking at this from this idea of this was some kind of nefarious way, like you just busted, you know, your husband sexting with his lover or something like that. Like if they were on the phone and having a conference call and all these things, and then we didn't have to worry about emojis. That's one. See, that would have solved the emoji problem in all this. We would not have had any emojis because you can't have emojis on a phone call. But really, they were all having a phone call and somebody accidentally sent it to Jeffrey Goldberg as a mistake. And Jeffrey Goldberg dials in, sits there on the line, listens in, and transcribes everything or hits a record button on his phone or whatever else and records the conversation, leaks the conversation. You know who'd be in trouble right now? Jeffrey Goldberg. 100%. Nobody would be talking about firing any of the officials. They'd be all talking about Jeffrey Goldberg has to be fired. And probably prosecuted, and the fact that he did not identify himself on the call, the fact that he recorded the call, the fact that he leaked the call, all those things, it would be, I would imagine, I can only imagine, if you're on a phone, a telephone, what the difference would be. Like if everybody was on a landline telephone in different locations, and somebody had listened in on that call and recorded that call without their consent, and then leaked it to the media, wrote a story about it, I would imagine you probably violated a federal law. There's probably some old law in the books regarding landline telephones. And then, of course, depending on the state you're in, whether or not there's a consent to record, and it's a one-party state or a two-party state or whatever else it is. But I'm sure there's some archaic law still on the books regarding landline phone calls and conversations and third parties and whatever else. The reason why this is so bad is because it's text messages, signal messages, so people can see them and read them versus a typed out transcript of a phone call. I'm telling you, that's the difference. If this had been a phone call, nobody would care. Everybody would be angry at Jeffrey Goldberg. It's the fact that it's all written out there and they're writing all this out. But just answer me this question, seriously. Like if you're somebody who thinks that I'm trying to run cover for them, and I'm not, I'm just telling you by honestly how I feel about this. If they were on a phone call and somebody had accidentally given Jeffrey Goldberg the call-in number for a conference call, and he called in, would you still say everybody has to get fired here? Or would you say the guy's a scumbag for listening in on the call when he shouldn't really been there? And then if he was listening in as a reporter, to then publish that when a mistake was made and he shouldn't have got the information, I think this would be looked at very differently. Because you wouldn't have emojis. Right? If it was a transcript, if he had recorded this and published a typed written transcript of the phone call, this would be a totally different story. If this was an audio of the call and you heard them all conversing on this, this would be much different too. Here is Caroline Leavitt talking about Signal having been approved for government use as an encrypted app. You know what? I'll play that when I get back. Let me do this. Let me take a quick break. We're a little behind schedule because Grillo went long, but it was worth it. If you missed it, go back. That was a great interview. We're going to do an event with them too, I hope. That was a lot of fun. But I want to tell you about Natural Lawn of America, my lawn care company, and the great work that they do for my home, my grass. My grass is greener. It's lush. Fewer weeds, and the work from Natural Lawn of America is guaranteed. See, here's the Natural Lawn of America difference, right? Everybody has seen these lawn care companies that go by with big trucks, spray lawns, move on to the next one. That's not what Natural Lawn of America does. What Natural Lawn of America does is they take care of your lawn specific to what your lawn needs. And then every year they seed your lawn for free. That's right. Every year you get that free overseeding. The full service program, which absolutely makes a difference. The result is you have a lawn that is safer for your kids, safer for your pets, greener grass with fewer weeds guaranteed. Insect controls that are better, it just works. It's a local company, it's family owned, and they support our show, support our station. This is a no-brainer. Just call them at 1-800-FREE-SEED. 1-800-FREE-SEED. They'll seed your lawn, you'll feel great about it, everybody wins. And you'll have the best looking lawn guaranteed. Guaranteed. Safer too. Natural Lawn of America, 1-800-FREE-SEED.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
A lot going on today. Jasmine Crockett, who called Governor Greg Abbott Governor Hot Wheels. You know, we're going to talk about that. I said yesterday she should not be censured. Look, I tell you what I believe. I tell you what I think. You know, I don't say what I think you want to hear. I mean, probably most people think she should be censored. I don't like the idea of censuring members of Congress for their speech at political rallies, as abhorrent as it is. I think that, you know, you censored the lesser Al Green for his conduct at the inauguration, joint address to Congress. Excuse me. Totally different scenario. But not speech. That was his actions, his conduct. I don't like the idea of censuring a member of Congress. She say she called him Governor Hot Wheels. That is disparaging because he's in a wheelchair. And her spin on it was terrible. She should have apologized. She didn't. She doubled down on it. But Governor Greg Abbott's a big boy. He can handle it. I don't think she should be censured. My point is this. When I tell you what I believe, it's what I believe. I'm not. So in this Signal thing, I have not seen anything here that leads me to believe somebody should be fired. They made a mistake. Thank God nothing bad happened, but, you know, nothing bad happened. So, you know, you learn from it and you move on. I think that that's life. I mean, you know, it's early in the administration. Mistake was made. Okay, yeah, move on. But here's the perfect response that Governor Greg Abbott gave after Jasmine Crockett called him Governor Hot Wheels. Cut number five.
You had an accident at 26 and you were jogging and you had a very severe injury. And yes, you are in a wheelchair. And I've gotten to know you. You're a personal friend of mine. I take it personally when friends of mine are attacked viciously for no reason. And there's no way in hell that this woman and her ex-post is going to convince me she meant anything other than what we all believe it to be. Your reaction?
Well, Sean, it's another day and another disaster by the Democrats. The reality is they have no vision, no policy. They have nothing to sell but hate. And Americans are not buying it. It's one reason why Texas is going to remain red and why Republicans are going to continue to win elections across the country. The fact, Sean, is that Texas is actually in direct contrast to what she was talking about. Texas has ranked number one for the most new jobs in America over the past month. Number one for the most new jobs over the past year and for several years. Texas ranks number one for the most new economic development projects for 13 years in a row. CEOs who run businesses have ranked Texas the best state for doing business for 20 years in a row. And Texas is in the vanguard as it concerns the future of the United States, such as space exploration, such as artificial intelligence, such as semiconductors, as well as power generation. The bottom line is that Republican states like Texas are leading the way, and with comments like this by Democrats, we will just leave them in the dust in future elections.
There you go. That's it. Censuring her will make her a martyr. Censuring her is not the correct course of action here. What she said was absolutely disparaging to people in wheelchairs. And I think that, you know, I think it was Katie Pavlich who said it. You know, what about all your constituents who might be in wheelchairs, Congresswoman? You know, would you call them Hot Wheels? It absolutely was, you know, despite her spin about making it about planes, trains, and automobiles, whatever stupid spin she had. We all know what she said. That said, it was a cruel comment. Let her own it. But censuring her will make her look like a martyr, and it looks like you're weaponizing speech. You know, the president has said a lot of things over the years, calling people nicknames. It's okay. Like, yeah, he never disparaged anybody in a wheelchair, but let's not start coming up with these. Like, I guess I saw them debate that on The Five yesterday. And yeah, Gutfeld was saying, but he never disparaged anybody in a wheelchair. Okay, right. But at the same time, though, like, we're all adults here. You know, people say stupid things, and she'll own that and let her suffer the consequences of it. I just think you censure her, and you wind up making her like a martyr for free speech, and looks like you're attacking her. And sometimes in life, you deal with a person, you let them just go out there. There's an old saying, when someone's drowning, you don't have to throw them a rope. You know what I mean? Like, they're digging a hole, they don't stop digging. You just don't have to, you know, you don't have to take the shovel away from them. President Trump responded to her, and I did an interview last night with Greg Kelly from Newsmax, and how dumb she is. Cut number six.
She lies, but she's a lowlife. And she's a very low IQ person and a lowlife. And I don't imagine the Democrats are going to have a person like that running their party. If they do, and they'll never win an election again. It would be very hard. But I can't imagine she's going to last long.
And what do you think of Governor Gavin Newsom?
You know,
sorry.
To be smart, you do need a brain. You know, You can't get around with little quips. And I've only heard her for the last couple of days. And I watched her make a speech, and she can't speak. And she truly is a low-level person on the very important chart of intelligence.
Yeah.
And really, it's nice to have intelligent people running your operation.
Yeah. So somebody you can talk to, who you can have a good conversation with.
She was a comedian. I couldn't believe she was a congressman or whatever she is. And no, I thought she was a comedian.
That's unbelievable.
And she was sort of a little bit funny, but crude. And now I find out she's actually a politician. With the Democrats are going to suffer with this one.
That was Vince Colanese, by the way, who took over for Dan Bongino. Trump also did an interview last night with Greg Kelly. But yeah, I mean, she's a low life, and she'll wind up destroying her own political career. She's going to get the center of attention, suck the oxygen out of the room. Let her say her crazy things. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? It's fine. She's an idiot. In fact, I have a clip of her from today, NPR. She was going on about NPR and PBS and making all of her outrageous, crazy statements regarding the cutting of funding for NPR and PBS. So she was going all in on this, too. I've got a lot of the squad today, actually, as a matter of fact. I don't know if she's technically a member of the squad or not. I don't really know, but I believe that she might be considered a squad member. If not, she certainly has the same attitude as a squad member and the same intelligence of a squad member and the same progressive woke nonsense as a squad member. But here she is hyperventilating over cutting NPR, cut number four.
About emergency management, and they don't care about free speech, all of which are harming American people. In fact, I'm going to skip off real quick because they have tried to come for you, Ms. Mayor. And I just want to clarify, you did not work for NPR when those statements were made, did you?
That is correct, Madam.
And to be clear, Free speech is not about whatever it is that y'all want somebody to say. And the idea that you want to shut down everybody that is not Fox News is... We need to stop playing, because that's what y'all are doing in here. You don't want to hear the opinions in any of anybody else. And the Constitution says Congress shall make no law respecting or establishing of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the
gentlewoman's time has expired. Press. The gentlewoman's time has expired.
Is she the dumbest person on the planet? Is she? I'm sincerely asking. Is she the biggest idiot on the planet? The Constitution doesn't say we have to fund public broadcasting, you idiot. The Constitution doesn't say we have to fund public radio, moron. We're not shutting it down. We're not declaring it to be illegal. We're not funding it. Last time I checked, Article 1 doesn't say Congress shall create a public broadcasting system so that everybody can see creepy puppets. What a dumbass. I mean, honestly, that's what I mean. Like, with somebody like that, let them talk. The more they talk, the better. Just give them a microphone. You don't censure them. You don't shut them up. You just let them go. Let them go and talk. She's accusing, think about this now. We're going after and destroying freedom of speech because we're not going to fund NPR and PBS. So then, theoretically then, by her argument, the government has weaponized freedom of speech against Talk Radio 1210 WPHD because we get no government money. Yeah, everything, this whole radio station is funded by our advertisers and our sponsors, even the ones you don't like, even the commercials you can't stand. They can't all be woot woots, all right? So based on her logic, the government of the United States of America is actually discriminating against us and weaponizing the First Amendment against all of us here at Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. I'm just saying, you know, because if you cut the funding of PBS and NPR and that's an attack on the First Amendment, then us not having any government money is an attack on the First Amendment. Now, I don't want any freaking government money, but I'm just saying, using her stupid logic, you know what? Stupid logic makes no sense. Using her absolute lack of logic, what a dumbass. Congress shall make no law. Congress shall fund Big Bird. Article 1. You know what? Let me pull it up. Let's see. The Big Bird Clause of the Constitution. Matt DeSantis, let's discover the Big Bird Clause of the Constitution, shall we? What did they do? What were they called? The amendments, right?
Oh, yes. I'm familiar with the amendments. Yes, go on.
I got to find him in here.
I think it's Amendment 44 is when Big Bird is mentioned.
Is that the Big Bird Clause? Yes. Congress shall make no law to abridge the freedom of Big Bird to roam the streets and for the grouchy garbage can puppet to be as grouchy and smelly as he wants to be. Who was that? Who was in the garbage can? Do you remember that?
Oscar the Grouch?
Oscar the Grouch. That's the Oscar the Grouch clause. It's actually in Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an Oscar the Grouch housing encampment. Oscar the Grouch shall be considered unhoused or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech of Oscar the Grouch or Count Chocula. Now, who is the Count on Sesame Street?
Isn't it just the Count?
Is it just the Count?
I think he just counts, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he just counts. Or the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to go to Sesame Street Place, which is in Pennsylvania. A lot of fun there, by the way.
Count Von Count, by the way. We've just
Count Von
his,
Count?
His full name, yeah.
Okay. Well, that we've just discovered it right there. Congress shall make no law silencing Count Von Count. Or the free exercise thereof of Count Von Count. It's right here. Who was the pig? No, that was the Muppets, right? That's different?
Yeah, it's Miss Piggy.
That's Miss Piggy.
I don't think there's a pig in Sesame Street, is there?
Well, if there is, Congress shall make no law to silence that pig. Like, Justin, do you even know what Sesame Street is?
Yeah, I know what Sesame Street is.
Did you grow up watching it, or are you too young?
I mean, it was on... But I never watched it. My mom never put it on for me when I was a kid.
Yeah. That's probably why you turned out to be okay. You know what I mean?
Probably.
There's an idiot congressman who had a sign up today at the hearing. It said, "Fire Elon, save Elmo." I kid you not. That was an actual sign that a member of Congress had today at this hearing. Fire Elon, save Elmo. Elmo is the creepy puppet with the high-pitched voice who I think was made after, like, I think the guy who played him was a pederast, right? Wasn't he?
A what?
A pederast, you know. Didn't the guy get in trouble for, like, kids, one of the actors who played Elmo in the costume?
Oh, really? I don't know. Let me Google that real quick.
Yeah. Elmo creeps me out, man. Elmo creeps me out. Sesame Street's future is in jeopardy. No, it's not. You know why? Because the Muppets are now owned by Disney. Disney owns the Muppets. If Sesame Street is that good, if there's so many people that love Sesame Street, then this is a wonderful opportunity for some enterprising television network to secure the rights to Sesame Street right now. Right now. Although the show actually does run on HBO Max because they reached a deal in 2020. So probably not going anywhere, because if you subscribe to HBO Max and Congress shall make no law, say that's the law that I want. HBO Max should be free. I said, if Congress shall make no law or the exercise thereof of me having to pay $16.99 a month for HBO Max.
Oh, you go commercial free. You have the fancy version.
Oh, yeah. What are we doing here? The founders would be appalled. So, yeah, so you'll have to go to watch Sesame Street on a paid network. I know. This could be the end of days for all of us. This could be the end. This could be over. I don't know. We may not survive. Do we have a clip of the PBS executive, too?
We have a couple NPR. I don't know if we have a PBS one, but give me a second. I'll find one.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. Let's hear NPR now about the not reporting on the Hunter Biden laptop. Cut number three. This is Catherine Mayer, the president and CEO of National Public Radio.
October 2020, the New York Post had the Hunter Biden laptop story. And one of those editors, I guess one of those 87 Democrat editors, said this: "We don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories. We don't want to waste the listeners' and readers' times on stories that are just pure distractions." Was that a pure distraction story?
Our current editorial leadership believes that that was a mistake, as do I.
Yeah, the whole country knows that was a mistake. Definitely impacted the election.
Mm-hmm. They did that on purpose. They were skewing all of their coverage. Oh, yeah, Bert and Ernie. Did they retire? I think they retired. They're living in Florida now, right? They got a condo together?
They're happily married. I know that.
Yeah, well, that was a big win for them. Love is love is love. Here's Representative Brandon Gill grilling the executives at NPR and PBS about the kind of programming that they have. It's a little bit long, but it's worth it. Trust me. Cut number two.
A few years ago, NPR educated America about, quote, the whole community of genderqueer dinosaur enthusiasts. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of tax dollars?
I was not on NPR at the time, sir.
That's not the question, though. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of our tax dollars?
I think our tax dollars that we use are to be able to provide a wide range of...
I'll take that as a yes. You do believe that that's appropriate. Your health advisor at NPR also stated in an interview that, quote, fear of fatness is more harmful than actual fat. Would you like to explain how fear of fatness is more harmful than actual fat? That's an editorial at NPR.
I am not familiar with the editorial, and I don't believe that was published during my time here.
It's called "Diet Culture is Everywhere. Here's How to Fight It." Do you think that that's an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars?
I think any reporting on health is an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars, yes.
And you think that editorializing that fat is not unhealthy is appropriate?
I don't know what that article is, sir, and I'm not familiar with it, so I couldn't say.
This is fake news. Do you think that basic accommodations like doorways or seatbelts represent, quote, latent fat phobia?
Yes. I don't have an opinion.
It's also from NPR. Do you think civility is racist?
Stop it right there. Listen, I've always said doors are fat phobic and racist, too. They really are. And they're height phobic, because sometimes I walk through a door and it's really, really high. I feel bad about myself. You know what I mean? And sometimes tall people have to duck. So I've long said doorways are racist and sexist. They're also transphobic, too. And revolving doors, in particular, are What's the word to use against somebody who's disabled? What do you say? Like, what's the
ableist
term? Ableist. Thank you, Justin. Revolving doors are ableist. You know how I know this? I mentioned I was up at Fox News on Monday, brought my scooter up there, and I got stuck in the revolving door with my scooter. I did. I got stuck in the revolving door. The revolving doors are ableist. Do you understand me? And NPR should use my tax dollars to show and highlight the fact that doorways are racist, sexist, and ableist. Ableist, too. So I'm just saying, you know, that's an excellent use of my tax dollars, if you ask me. Excellent. Excellent use. I've long said that. Do you know what it felt like as me as a man to be stuck in a revolving door with a scooter at that moment? You have any idea?
I have a question.
Ansley Earhart looking at me, and there's Sandra Smith looking at me. Hannity walks by. I'm stuck in the revolving door of my freaking scooter. What's your question?
Is it one of those auto revolving doors, or was this one that you had to push yourself?
No, this is a push one. You got to push it.
Yeah, those are no good.
You know, they had to send a rescue team in to get me. So, you know, I'm just saying, doorways are a problem. Have been for a long time. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Dr. Mike Vidaria, great guy, great friend, the master of dental implants. You know, for my family, we go to Dr. Mike for all of our dental care, and we're so happy that we do. He's going to give you a great smile. That's what Dr. Mike is all about. And for 10 years in a row, 10 consecutive years, Dr. Mike Vidaria has been giving people the smiles that they deserve. So, what are you waiting for? Go see him today. All you got to do is reach out to him at VanariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. If you have been putting off going to the dentist, you got to go. I was listening to a podcast the other day all about your microbiome and how important it is, your gut health and the vagus nerve, I think it's called, and how your gum health, oral health actually affects your gut health, which is like your body's second brain. So it's all interconnected. You can't put it off. You got to deal with it. Got to take good care of your teeth and your smile and your gums. So reach out to Dr. Mike today. You'll love the staff. You'll love the people in the office who work there, the music that's playing, just all around a great place to go. He'll give you a great smile. VanariaDental.com, 856-786-2020. Dr. Mike Vidaria, 856-786-2020.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So we had Steve Grillo on, former Howard Stern intern. We just basically trashed Howard Stern for 25 minutes. It was great. His new book is out. He mentioned how he had an experience with George Clooney, who was whining about playing Batman. You see today, Ben Affleck was also whining about having to play Batman. What's with these freaking guys, these spoiled brats? Like, you're living the dream. You're Batman.
I thought you'd be excited about the Ben Affleck news. He said he's done with the character. You don't have to worry about him anymore.
That's true.
Interest is the phrase.
Well, he's also like 70 now. So what are you going to have, like Batman in the retirement home?
Yeah, it will be a weird scene if Batman throws out his back while, you know, attacking criminals. Yeah.
And Batman, you know, gets a hip replacement. Like, I mean, how could you have Ben Affleck play Batman at this point?
The only way I could see that happening is if they go the Batman Beyond route, because they had old Bruce Wayne when he was older, at least in the cartoon version back in the day.
That's true.
So, I mean, that's the only way I could see it. But they're never going to touch Batman Beyond, as much as I love it. I'll never get anything related to Batman Beyond again.
I'm sorry, Justin. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but America is relieved that Ben Affleck at least won't be playing Batman anymore. Now, if he can only just lose interest in acting.
I think your attacks on poor Ben Affleck's acting career are not fair.
Do you think I'm the reason he lost his mind at the Tom Brady roast and started going off on people?
No,
criticize him on social media?
I think he did that all on his own. Well, that was the weirdest speech I've ever seen.
Weirdest speech ever, and the whole thing was all about him and all the people that criticize him, and he was going on, and it was bizarre.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. I think it's because of how much the Zioli army makes fun of Ben Affleck, because he ruins everything. I mean, he ruined Batman. They had to reboot the franchise again after he played it. Clooney ruined Batman. Think about this. And it ended that franchise that was started by Tim Burton with the 1989 Michael Keaton Batman, ended with George Clooney and the bat nipples in Batman and Robin. Horrific movie. And then they reboot. They do three highly successful movies with Christopher Nolan. Nolan ended the franchise all by himself. He only wanted to ever do three. Christian Bale only wanted to ever do three movies. That was it. They could have made a fourth if they wanted to. They didn't want to. So then they go out with this new Batman, Ben Affleck. It's so bad. Those movies are so bad. Justice League, Batman versus Superman. Terrible. That they kill again. They have to reboot the franchise again. And that was not a choice that they made. That was Warner Brothers in DC going, no, everybody hates this. Everybody hates this and we're losing money. So they have to get a new Superman because Ben Affleck ruined that. And they had to get a new Batman. So, you know, I'm just saying, he's the worst. He's the worst. So that's all I got on that. All right. I got a lot on that. But coming up, if your wife died, would you want an AI robot to take her place? That's a question I have for you. It's a real story. What?
I'm excited for that segment.
It's a real story. It's a real thing. If your wife died, would you want an AI robot who sounds like her and talks like her to take over? That's the question I have for you. I'll tell you what I mean exactly when we get back. That's the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Sid and Vincent in Woodbury offices right over the bridge. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VenariaDental.com. We're coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.